Good morning. Welcome to Faith Springs Live. And we're here this morning on the first Sunday of Advent. And I appreciate you all being here. And it looks like we're having several people come online with us. And we should be live all over Facebook and iHeartRadio. And looks like everything's starting to pop up well on the screen. So thank you for being here. If you can help me sing today, I don't have much of a voice. If I take a big deep breath, it brings pain. So I don't want to take a big deep breath. But I got a couple songs that I want to do, and I'll try to. I don't know if we'll be able to do bouncy ones or not, but let's see what we can do.
They're not bouncy.
Now you're starting to hurt my feelings. Well, one, you know that will just get me excited anyway. But I know y'all know. God sent his Son. Pick this one out because I don't know if anybody knows about Advent or not. We're not big into Advent like some religions are, but you know, we used to have the Advent wreath and we'd do that and light the candles, and maybe in the new church we'll do that a little bit better, and we have more room and more celebratory access to things. But this is the first Sunday of Advent, and it's hope. And we're going to be talking about hope today. So that's the reason that I picked this song. And listen to the first words. My hope is built on nothing less. So we don't have to swing that hard on this one. So
my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. Christ the soul, and God I stand on the ground is
trumpet sound.
When he shall come with trumpet sound, all the island in him be found. Dressed in his righteousness alone, all blessed to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. What a friend we have, Jesus. Our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry. I'm doing all right.
If you don't know, I don't know if not having a gallbladder looks better or not. I apologize for not tucking this in today, but I got too many scars and I don't want to upset them. But I had gallbladder surgery Friday, and they removed that son of a gun. Took a Ford tractor and put a chain around it, and I heard the doctor yell, "Go." And that's the last thing I remember. But I did think, I'm just so glad that I wasn't going in for hemorrhoid surgery, because that would have been a whole different experience. I can't laugh. Oh, I shouldn't do that. Anyway, good to have everybody. I just don't miss church, folks. You guys are my family. And we're going to just talk about some really special things today. And I'll just try to get you to kind of embrace who we are, embrace the season. And I think there's a reason that you're here. I think there's a reason each of you that is online that's watching this morning is here too. I want you to really listen to what we have to say and what God has to say through the beginning of the Christmas story. And we're going to be spending the next, believe it or not, we're going into Christmas. You know, but I do want to let you know, there are no Black Friday sales at St. Luke's Hospital. They charged me full price. I was really expecting a Black Friday special, but they didn't. Matter of fact, they wanted the money up front. And I did get a nice tasty hamburger out of it. Anyway, I appreciate you being here. We have a few announcements I need to share with you. And I think probably, Esther, my mind's not really good. I know that doesn't shock you. The only thing that I know that besides the normal things that we have going during the week is probably the business meetings, Jack. Was there a final decision made on that and how we're doing the budgets and all that? And please, I believe the way we're doing the budget is we're cutting the budget back to whatever necessities are at this time because of the new building. I know the Budget and Finance Committee have been working hard on that. Can you fill me in on what we're doing with the two meetings?
I'll be talking to Esther about it. We're going to try and do them the first or second week of December. We had emailed stuff out, and Glenn was, I think, communicating at least I'm hoping.
So will that not be this Sunday? It'll be maybe a week from, I mean, this Wednesday? Okay, so we don't have anything this week with business meeting. We just have to have two meetings, one to present you the budget, and then one to vote on that budget. Go ahead, Esther.
I think it'll be the second and the third week. I needed to hear from Jane to make sure everything was okay with the budget.
Okay, we can live with that.
And if that's okay, then we'll schedule it, because I need at least a week to put it on the service.
We are in a transition mode, so and we're in a COVID mode, which is something that I haven't been experienced in and ever, to be honest with you. So take note of that. When we have the budget coming up, we'll give it to you a week in advance. We always do. Let you look it over, have a chance to call people, have all your questions answered. There won't be too many questions on this year's budget. This is the bare bones budget as we go into the new building. I do want to indicate as we go into December, a lot of people ask, and it's not because I'm knocking on doors begging for money, but if you have funds, if you have accounts that need to transfer gains or whatever for tax purposes, Glenna, our financial secretary, is very strict about that with that midnight date. But this will be a good year to think of the church and the building for any of those additional funds, because we're going to need, now that we're almost done with this, the parking lot and things of that order. I have a feeling we're going to have a whole bunch of other things that we're going to add to it. If you haven't been out there, you'll notice that the first floor is almost done, I believe, on the carpet on the kids' side. The crew has worked on Thanksgiving. They were working on weekends, and they're working around the clock, literally, trying to get it done. So hang with me there. And I'm still kind of shooting for Christmas Eve service to be in there. But you remember the one Christmas Eve that I had the present brought up, and it was the permit in it that allowed us to begin? How many years ago has that been? Three? 3 years? 4 years ago? Three? 3 years ago? Four. It seems like 40. But we're going to make it. We're going to make it. There's a reason. We're going to talk about that in today's sermon. I tell you what, we got enough guys to carry all the money. Somebody want to bring up the ushers? I can't lift anything over 10 pounds, so I won't be able to be an usher today. Just in case some of you have some loose change. We're doing two?
Yeah.
All right, sir. You're looking good as hell. Philip Hickman, would you bless the offering back there? I appreciate it, sir.
Dear Lord, just thank you for being our God. Thank you for all the blessings you give us. And I pray that you help us to get back to you, to show our love for you. Bless this offering to be used for the kingdom. And
help
us
to have joy in the giving of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Christmas song, just kind of breaking it into it, but it's in that Christmas section anyway. Kind of give us a start into it, but not really Christmas, but close enough. Tell me the story of Jesus, right on my heart. Thank you.
Amen.
Don't worry, I'm not drinking coffee.
Okay.
Doctor prescribed Diet Mountain Dew. It was amazing.
And it works.
Okay. They got in that gallbladder and they found my car keys. I had lost a set of car keys. Yeah. So it was worth the surgery for that. We will make sure, if you have time tonight, tonight's show is really going to be, it's at 8 o'clock. And who is it? Vicky and Jen, they are, one is the CEO and the executive director of Lighthouse for Life out in South Carolina. And they have a mission there that they deal with human trafficking. And Vicky is the one of the trainers, coordinators of the program out there too. So we have both of them on tonight. And folks, I just got certified by them to teach all the doctors in the state of Texas, because now they have to have an hour of CME on human trafficking. All the doctors, before you get your license renewed, you have to have an hour of understanding what you're watching for when people walk in. You know, in Texas, they were telling me online how many thousands of people went through doctor's appointments in the state of Texas. Not one human trafficking person was noted. Not one. Mm-hmm. So, and there's signs. I mean, there's literally signs. You pull their lip down and they got a code bar right on their lip. These are people that have been stolen from the streets and are put out. You know, we've had a couple on the show recently that went to a rock concert. And then the next thing she knew, she was prostituting the next day in Dallas and could not control it. And was in that for about 2 years. If I had a child, if I had a grandchild, and I do, I would listen to the program tonight to find out what the signs are, because Houston is the wonderful capital of the world with human trafficking. And that's sad, but we're just a great location of crossroads. And I one time as a church, we'll do this when COVID's over. We'll take the bus route to the human trafficking places. That's how popular it is. I don't know if you've ever done this or not, but I heard about it and I talked to the people and they said, when they're done, they'll take the buses, where we get on the bus, and they will drive you by and say, look there, look there, look there. And they show you, it's like an hour drive through the streets of Houston, and they show you where they're all at. They know where they're at. They're just so good at keeping things where they can't close them down and find them and catch them. And it's scary what's happening. But anyway, we're going to be talking about that tonight for the whole hour on Breaking the Silence. So if you get on BBS Radio, these wonderful gentlemen will set you up. And I think it's one of those that'll be really, really good. The whole month of December, I have some great people on. So make sure you join. Now, today, we're going to kind of, you know, I was thinking, that doesn't happen often, but I was thinking that, have you ever been disappointed? As we go into Christmas season, I think a lot of people are lowering our expectations of everything. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. I hope you wasn't disappointed, but I think we've all experienced that. And did you ever have something that you anticipated and expectations that were so high and they never got met, that you were just anticipating something happening? You go, well, that was a bummer. That just didn't happen. Of course you did. Did you ever just have to maybe readjust your expectations? Examples. Marriages, parents, your health, your income at the age that you're at right now, your savings plan, your relationship to your friends, recovering from surgery. Yeah, 3 to 5 days. 2 to 3 weeks, and it's still a year later, and you're not any better. That's what's supposed to fix you. And you have to readjust. So we all have expectations in life. As I intro this, I want you to look up one verse, and then we're going to get to the Christmas story and begin it. I want you to find Isaiah 55, and then we're going to jump into the book of Luke. We all have expectations in life. One area where we have expectation is with God. Often, and I want you to hear this, often what you expect from God isn't reality. Often what you want, what you think, what you expect, and sadly, what we've been taught in school, in Sunday school, all the years of how we ought to deal with God isn't reality. Isaiah's in the Old Testament. A lot of prophecy in that book. In fact, adjusting my expectations about God, for me, and I'm being really gut-wrenching honest this morning, is a lifelong journey of what you expect, what you endure, how you handle, how you adjust. And there's a reason for this. And this is the reason. Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55, when you find that, turn to verse 8 and 9. This is scripture every one of you ought to have underlined in your Bible. This is scripture that every one of us ought to have printed and put in your office, on your bedroom wall, on your refrigerator, as a wallpaper, on your phone, whatever. But it goes like this if you're with me. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 say, oh yeah. My thoughts are not your thoughts, says the Lord. My ways are so far beyond anything that you can imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Now there's one part of that verse that you ought to even circle and highlight. My ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. That is an amazing statement. One of the most awesome statements in God's word. For me, it was worth climbing out of my recliner, driving down here, getting things set up just to hear and read that word right there. What is it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9 words is worth coming to church for. It's worth you being online for right now. My ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. Now, in the Williams version, I have another verse behind that. Therefore, you better adjust your expectations, because his thoughts are higher. His ways are far greater. So I need to readjust. Often we expect that God should always make sense. We always expect God to be able to be understood. In those verses, can anybody tell me where that's at? It's not there. There's not a hardly even a close of a biblical account of that kind of reasoning. Our responsibility is to always follow, trust, and obey, and not understand. My life is that. Now, for all the people that have left this church over the years and are sitting at home, depressed, sitting home and not finding their fulfillment in the church they're in, I want to personally invite you back to readjust your expectation of what God has planned for you. You will never find joy, and I'm talking to the camera here, you'll never find joy if you're not in the center of God's will. Readjust expectations. I have found out that this church is not about glamour, is not about paint color, is not about beautification. It's about love. And there's nothing better than that. Because how, folks, is this community going to know who we are? By the way we love them. The way we love them. So we have to readjust, because God's mind and ways. And I know the ones are sitting here going, well, but I think, you already failed the test. My thoughts are not like yours. So I want to take you through this as we begin the Christmas story. Since God's ways are so radically different than ours, we can feel like a kid at Christmas who opens up a present expecting one thing, only to be a bit confused and even disappointed. You ever done that? I have. And sometimes we feel that way about God. I was promised this, God. I was told this. I was trained this way. And I've opened it up, and this isn't what I expect. And God's saying, trust me, because my ways have nothing to do with yours. I can still control how to deal with trying to set your digital clocks. I can still figure out all those things that you can't, and you're wondering why you can't figure out what's happening in your life. I have this under control, Greg. Sometimes I say, why, Lord, am I right now where I'm at in my life? Why? Was this what I had planned? I don't think so. I really can't imagine that I would have written this out. Not that my life's so bad, but I wouldn't have written it out like this. Michael, would you have written your life like right like now? If you was 20, 25, and say, this is where I want to be at this age? Gail, would you? I really don't know if I would have. But God's saying, hey, let's readjust, because my ways are better. I got this under control. And we're to show you in the next few minutes, three steps. How can you imagine, as we're going through the next month, looking at the Christmas story in a way that we may have never looked at it before? We're going to take a non-romanticized look at it. We're going to get in the stable with the Savior. We're going to smell the smells. This was not the time of glitter, glamour, and awe. This was a time of darkness. This was a time of pain. This was a time of people having to trust, putting their life on the line to make journeys across the country to be able to follow a star that they didn't even know what they were really going to find when they got there, but they always heard. They were trusting. And we're going to find you in the story. The reason is, it makes sense to us when you read it, is after the fact, when we start connecting the dots, the people living this Christmas story, a lot, had no idea what was going on. They had no idea. They'd heard. They had no idea. It was just like, we may be right now in the middle of the beginning of the last days. Do you have any idea? Will anybody have any idea? So what makes you think they had any idea? Oh, yeah, they were visited. We're going to get ready to talk about that. So now turn to Luke before I get all this an hour on just the intro, because I have to get through this one, because next Sunday is another part of the story. So I will make sure I get through this. Can you all hear me okay? Am I doing all right? Okay, Luke chapter 1. Today we begin our journey of adjusting our expectations of God as we look at the issue of, and write this at the top of your page, time. The issue of time. God's timing is absolutely different than yours, and it always will be. Luke 1, and just write this down. We won't read it all. We're just going to jump in and read. But Luke 1, 5 through 25 is a story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. Just so I know what kind of crowd I have out here, who are Zechariah and Elizabeth with the Christmas story? What do they have to do with anything? Okay, they're the mom and dads. John the Baptist, cousins of Mary. Okay, there was a situation there where John the Baptist wasn't planned because Elizabeth was unable to have children. She was barren. You're a nurse, right? What's barren mean? You're a nurse. What's barren mean? You can't have kids. Barren. That's what I love about this story. Luke 1, 7. We're just going to kind of skip around. As we get to the first point. Luke 1, 7. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both, underlined, very old. Now, I don't know if that means very old to have children, very old to drive a car, very old to get out of bed. I have no clue, but I do know the first point in the message today that I want you to hear, that God's timing waits longer than you ever expect. Have you ever expected God to come through in a specific time? Yes, amen, hallelujah, absolutely. I expected it. I thought it. I still think it. I still haven't learned the lesson because I still want to have Christmas Eve out there. So I'm hoping it. But I'm not going to bet on it. But I want it. So I have to readjust. You have that specific time frame, and then you end up becoming disappointed. It seems like your prayers that start falling into this, okay, are answered. And the timing's off than what the prayers have been in the past. Your kids haven't come around like you thought they would. The job didn't open up like you thought. I'm sure that's exactly how Zechariah and Elizabeth felt. They prayed and prayed and prayed for years that God would give them a child. Now the time is past. We're not even trying. It's over. The years have caught up with their biological clocks, and it's pointless to even pray anymore. And God's timing is so radically different than ours that it seems that he always waits longer than we expect. Often it seems he waits until we lose hope. He waits until it feels impossible. I want you to hear that. You in one of those situations? You don't think there's hope? First Sunday Advent, I want you to rediscover hope today. That's what this Sunday represents in the story. Christ is coming. Hope in that. As we begin the Christmas story, hope in his arrival. So how do I adjust? How do I fine tune? How do I open up the hood of my emotional, spiritual car and tune it up like this? Three things. Choose to trust God's plan. Please let yours go and trust his. He knows what he's doing, even if you can't see it. That's why I pulled the Isaiah, just in case you doubted it. I want you to know his ways are different than yours. That's why I started that. That's why I prefaced that. So start trusting in God's plan now. Choose to trust in God's goodness. Not only trust in his plan, God is still good, even if it doesn't feel like it. The character of God doesn't change just because God didn't do what you thought he should do. And I hope you're getting this without me being up and ranting and raving. I haven't lost anybody. Maybe I've learned something new. When I scream, y'all fall asleep. I'm learning something different here today. It's maybe a good thing, Jack. Maybe I'm a new man. I have my liver taken out next week, and maybe you all stay awake the whole hour. When God seems to have let you down, your expectations, choose to trust God's goodness. You ever looked at the hand of cards that you're dealing with right now? Here you go. I don't like the hand I've been dealt. God's good. God's still good. His ways are better. You've lost people by choice, by their choice, by life and death, by some other unforeseen circumstance. Trust in God's goodness. He knows what he's doing. His mind is far greater than ours. Choose to trust, the last one, you're in God's love. So choose to trust God's plan. Choose to trust God's goodness. Choose to trust God's love. Just because God delays doesn't mean that he doesn't love you. Often when God doesn't meet our expectations, we personalize it. Well, you must not care. You must not love me. Nothing can be farther from the truth, church. Nothing. And there's some people out there I know is listening this morning. He loves you no matter how bad you're hurting today. He loves you. Some of you have been waiting a very long time. But by faith, just declare, God, I believe you still have a plan. You are still good, and you still love me profoundly. Number two. Doing okay on time? I'm looking here. Okay, yeah. I'm enjoying this. I'm glad I came to church. I don't know if you're enjoying it or not, but I needed that one right there. God's timing not only takes longer than we expect, takes into account our asking. Verse 13, Luke 1, 13, same story. But the angel said, don't be afraid, Zechariah. God's heard your prayer. Your wife, Elizabeth, is going to give you a son. And here's what his name's going to be. John boy. John. Very interesting to me here. Why? Was Zacharias still praying for a child, even though he knew it was biologically impossible? Or is the angel referring to all those prayers he offered up for years and years and years for asking for a child? I tend to think he probably stopped praying. She dried up. There's no way. He knew it was past the time, because we look at what earth can do without the reality of understanding what heaven can do. And heaven can do anything it wants and doesn't need a thing on earth to get it accomplished. I don't want to get excited. But Jesus has that ability. But he remembers. The angel remembered. And most importantly, God remembered. And the angel wanted to remind him, your prayers were heard. They matter. What have you stopped praying for? What have you kept, maybe gave up hope on? We start believing our prayers don't matter. We expected God to act, but he didn't. What can you do? Glad you asked. I got 3 points under this one. Trust that your prayers still matter to God, even unanswered prayers still matter to God. The word commands us to pray. The word of God tells us our praying matters. Just because our praying doesn't meet our expectation doesn't mean it's meaningless. Church, God hears every word. Two or B, I guess it would be B if you did an outline. Remember that prayer is relational. It's not a religious activity. God is great. God is good. It doesn't work. It's relational. Let your heart pour out to him. I think this is one of our greatest shifts in our expectations we need to make. Prayer is not about the results. You need to write this one down. Prayer is not about the results. It's about the relationship. It's about the communication. It's about getting to know the Father. It's about getting to know who created you. About getting to know him intimately. And if your prayers don't do that, then I want to encourage you to shift your prayers around a little bit. Start getting more real. Because he wants to hear. He already knows. He just wants to hear how you really feel. Your prayers matter. And the third thing under this one, the impossible is never a reason to stop praying. Just because it's impossible doesn't mean to stop praying. Can you imagine? The Ten Commandments movie would have been horrible. Charlton Heston goes up to the Red Sea. Okay, never mind. Cut! We got to get back. We can't cross this thing. Come on, Pharaoh. Here we are. Take us back. The story would have been over. You trust, you declare, you believe, and the impossible is God's work. But it happens when you pray and believe in praying. Maybe you're struggling right now on waiting on God's timing as you've been praying. Pray because it matters. Number three, and I got to get these last two done real quick. God's time is expected to be trusted. Luke 18:1-18-20. Zechariah said to the angel, how can I be sure that this is going to happen? I'm an old man. And my wife is also well along in her years. Then the angel said, I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. Verse 20. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. It seems pretty normal here to me for Zechariah to question how this miracle is even going to happen to begin with. Hey, Gabe, have you noticed? We're kind of up there. We're in the senior citizens get the discount at Denny's age. It's too late. I love the angel's response. It was as if he was almost offended by his lack of faith and trust. He states his name. And he is the one who stands at the very presence of God. He's saying, God sent me himself to you. How can you doubt this message? Now, because of that, congratulations. You'll be mute for the next 9 months. It's hard to trust God's timing. Even when God shows up, we feel it's sometimes too good to be true. So, if you find yourself in a place of being disappointed, disillusioned, and you're not sure if you can trust God again, here's three to write down real quick, and I'm just going to read them. Admit your struggling to God. Choose to trust Him again. And walk in the way that God's leading. And then the last thing. I think I only have a couple minutes. Number four. God's timing ensures that He gets the glory, not us. Luke 1:20. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time. Luke 1:57-58. When it was time for Elizabeth's baby to be born, she gave birth to a little girl. Nope. It wasn't Juanita. It was a little boy, just like it was said. And I lost the verse. What do I do with it? And when her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had been very merciful to her, everybody rejoiced with her. God's timing with Elizabeth ensured everyone would understand this is being and is an absolute miracle, and that God was going to get the glory and the credit for doing something very special as we enter into this season. As I'm sure that made the headlines of the paper that week. I'm sure there was people talking at Rotary Club and WMU clubs. Looks like Elizabeth's putting on a little weight, like we're all doing during the COVID season. Looks like she's, if you ever done that, ask a lady, hey, when's it due? And she says, I'm not pregnant. This was a miracle to give God glory. So how do you adjust when you're waiting in the time period of God? And I got three of these. How do I adjust my expectations in this category? Stop beating yourself up. I see so many people, believers, beating themselves up because they don't see the immediate answers. Get back with God. Don't be so rough on yourself. Trust in Him. Give God glory in the waiting. If we give God glory in the waiting, it'll be easy to give Him glory when He answers. And then pray for God's glory in His answering. Somebody, please have a 2x4 in your hand when we walk into our new building. Because if I ever say, look what we've done, hit me. This will be for God's glory. We've had everybody on the face of this earth against this. We've had the forces of nature, principalities against this. This is for God's glory. As we enter into Christmas with your family, with people that need a church family, the people that need loved, that need loving, trust in Him. There's hope. There's hope. Even though it's not at the timing you think it is. His mind is greater than ours. Dear Lord, thank You for the day. Thank You for Your word. May the words go out not only on the ones that's here, but out across these airwaves and fall on ears, Lord, that needed to hear it. Lord, I needed to hear it. As we enter into this Christmas season, may be a season that we rediscover hope, hope, hope. And Lord, we trust in You because Your mind is far greater than anything than we can ever, ever imagine. We give the praise and glory. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you all for coming today. Thank you for joining us right here on Faith Springs. We'll be back with the next edition next Sunday morning, 10 o'clock Central Time. God bless. Have a great day. Thank you all for being here.